know the resume. I'm well aware of the numbers. John Cena, 15 world championships, 2 Royal Rumble match victories, 11 WrestleManias, 57 varieties of terrible t-shirt designs, and over 1,000 different ways to suck. I did exactly what I told the world I would do, and that's further my career by taking out Sami Zayn for good. But Sami Zayn was my best friend. Sami Zayn is someone I traveled the world with for over 10 years. Sami Zayn is someone I was closer to than almost any other human being on the planet. And that's what I did to him. Now, if I do that to somebody I care about, imagine what I'll do to John Cena. Actually, you know what? You don't have to imagine it. Just watch Elimination Chamber, and you will witness it firsthand.
I'm your friend, and you're not mine. This difference helps me cross the line. Every time I'm confronted, I'm unafflicted by my actions. So he is the result of a game. Victory at the cost of pain. Like a freight train, you're tied to the tracks. No way to escape, there's no coming back. You're in my way, and I haven't got the time today. This deal, walk away. And if you fight another day.
Welcome to the Condo on the Moon podcast, a day late, hopefully not a dollar short. We are here. It is I, James Borbath, along with the Swiss Millennial, Chris Walder. Another busy, busy week in pro wrestling, Chris Walder.
Yes, it is. And I'm sorry for pushing this podcast back a day. I mean, I hate doing it, but it was my girlfriend's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday. But now we are here, and we are here to talk some wrestling. It's Kevin Owens week.
Yeah, we'll get to Kevin in a moment, but there was a bigger story this week than the rise of Kevin Owens, which has been the dominant theme in WWE. I was going to call Walder out about his girlfriend's birthday, but now he's done it himself, so no fun for me. Anyway, the biggest story of the wrestling week, though, actually had nothing to do with the WWE at all. Destination America basically gave the middle finger to TNA Wrestling by... drumroll please, they brought in ROH, and now ROH is in roughly 100 million homes, if I'm doing the math correctly, with this deal with Destination America, and it makes ROH a very unique thing, which someone brought up, and it's a crazy point, but it's actually a true point. They are the only wrestling product right now on cable and standard TV.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Well, yeah, because WWE's not on traditional cable. They're on USA.
Yeah, they're on USA, yeah.
So, and they used to be on, like, the CW, but they aren't anymore. So, yeah, ROH comes into Destination America. I got a message on Facebook from you. All it said is, wow. And I was like, I wonder what that's about. And I checked my email. And instantly I knew what the wow was about because I had an email from ROH announcing this deal. Crazy.
Yeah, well, no one saw this coming. I mean, there weren't any reports from Meltzer or any of the wrestling dirt sheets even indicating that ROH was in the running to join Destination America. And we've seen all these stories about TNA possibly being canceled in September and Destination America maybe not trying to get into the whole wrestling biz because advertisers weren't willing to promote on the shows. But now Ring of Honor comes out of nowhere, and starting next week we're going to have Ring of Honor at 8 o'clock, and then we're going to have Impact at 9. Plus, you know, we already have Lucha Underground and NXT on Wednesday, so holy crap. I mean, it's terribly convoluted now.
And here in Canada, you get SmackDown on Wednesday, too. So it's,
oh, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Wrestling Nirvana. So, yeah, it's a crazy thing. ROH, the rumor was for ROH, which was going to be a big deal for them, they were going to end up on Nessun. I guess that's out the window now. They did a little better than that. And the other thing that I find truly shocking, and why I say this is Destination America putting up its middle finger to TNA, is this was a deal that was at least initially Destination America coming to ROH, not the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another, like you said, they're giving the shot right now to TNA, and as bad as me and you buried the product and the company as a whole so many times on this podcast, but now this is kind of like the official death toll. Like we're clearly running out the clock on TNA. I don't think anyone is expecting them to stick around past September now, right?
Yeah, and the company's response, they're like the little boy that cried wolf. It makes me laugh. Dixie Carter is welcoming ROH without open arms. Oh, by the way, they re-signed Bram, which, as someone pointed out on the internet, is the third time they've re-signed Bram in the last year. Congratulations to him. and they re-signed the Wolves, who WWE didn't want, and Davey Richards pretty much buried his ties with ROH on his way out the door there, so it's not like they're going back to ROH anytime soon, so where else would the Wolves go? It's an amazing story. It's great for ROH, and people will say, well, this is kind of being hypocritical. ROH is going on Destination America and everyone's happy about it. TNA went there and everyone's like down on TNA, but it's simple mathematics. I mean, TNA went from a networking spike that had, you know, I don't know how many homes Spike was in, but significantly more than Destination America. So TNA took a step down by going there, whereas ROH, they now not only have all their Sinclair affiliates and the other deals they had in place, but now they have Destination America. So like I said, if I do the math, you know, it's about $100 million. I mean, there's probably some overlap in there, but still, 57 million more people added to the 45 to 50 that Sinclair was already having. It's a huge deal for ROH, and this comes at a perfect time for them. They just launched their toy deal where they've got their first set of action figures coming out. One is a Kevin Steen doll, ironically enough. Adam Cole and the Briscoes, so they got that to promote. And they've got their pay-per-view coming up, which we have both said we think has one of the best main events ROH has had in a long time, with Jay Lethal taking on Jay Briscoe. And the undercard for that so far is looking pretty hot, too. We've got The Kingdom with Adam Cole back taking on AJ Styles and the Bucks, which is what we saw at War of the World in Philadelphia, but not everyone got to see that, only the people in Philadelphia. Now everyone's going to get to see it. And those six guys, I mean, that'll be a hell of a match. So, you know, it's looking great for ROH. And like you said, I don't see a future for TNA. I just don't. They have international deals. They have a deal here with the Fight Network. They have deals, obviously, in England and South America and Lord knows where else. But that's not going to be enough to sustain this company.
Well, it's clear one company is on the rise, the other one is on the decline. And that, I mean, I can understand why the fans were kind of skeptical about why everyone was supportive of ROH. But like you said, this is kind of like the little indie promotion that could, and they're slowly building up a basis here, and going with Destination America is going to be huge for them. And now when you have Impact following them, a lot of wrestling fans, you know, dedicating 3 hours of your week twice to watching wrestling is going to be a chore. So if Ring of Honor delivers the goods, which we both know they can, you know, Impact is obviously a downgrade in terms of quality. So I think a lot of people are going to be changing the channel at that point.
And the key thing is, ROH gets to run first.
Exactly, so, that's huge.
So I almost think Destination America, not just have they brought in TNA's main competition on their level, they've also basically used TNA to promote their new wrestling product, ROH, until September. So basically, TNA is screwed on the way in, on the way out, in every which way but Sunday. And, I mean, at the end of the day, this is Dixie Carter. And as we close this up, I mean, everyone, oh, poor TNA. Like that's all I ever hear. And, you know, people are going to lose jobs and stuff like that. Here's my response to that. If you work at a place and you realize things aren't going well for the company you're working for. At a certain point, it's up to you to find a new way to earn a living, because you can see the writing on the wall. I think we've seen AJ Styles did that, doing pretty well for himself. Samoa Joe did that, doing pretty well for himself. The addiction, formerly Bad Influence, doing all right for themselves. I mean, it's not like it's been a big secret that TNA is the sinking Titanic of the wrestling business.
It's just poorly managed. Like, we agree that they have an enormous amount of talent there, and like you said, all of these guys that leave the company go on to do bigger and better things elsewhere. But, I mean, even for example, when this news broke about ROH coming to Destination America, a guy like MVP, so one of the top guys in the company, was already starting to say, you know, what about, you know, maybe I should do some booking inquiries, you know, maybe I should start looking elsewhere for work. Like, everyone already knows, you know, before they even had that company-wide meeting, that this is pretty much the last couple of months that TNA will be around. I don't expect them to find a new network in North America. Maybe they're going to have to go overseas and make that strictly a European product, but right now TNA is officially screwed.
But my point is that a lot of the talent in TNA is there for a reason. MVP kind of has burned some bridges with WWE. He can't really go there. Jeff Hardy obviously burned some bridges with WWE. Can't go there. Can't even wrestle right now. He broke his leg dirt biking real smart.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, I think we know that story. I mean, when you look at their talent roster, I tend to think it's a bunch of washout people that WWE would never take a second look at, and a few people that have just held on too long. Like Bobby Roode's a great talent that they have in TNA, but he should have tried to get out of that company a long time ago when he saw everyone around him kind of leaving and the money was drying up. I mean, the writing was on the wall. Eric Young, he does some friggin' fishing show like Shawn Michaels does, so I don't know what he makes from that, but I don't think he's necessarily totally dependent on making a living from TNA.
And two of TNA's biggest heels, Bram and Ethan Carter, were developmental rejects from WWE.
Right, so they're not going back there. I mean, although, if I was WWE, Ethan Carter III, I would take a second look at.
He's coming to his own.
He really has changed from the guy he was in WWE. But that said, it is what it is. ROH, you know, this is a big deal for them. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle all of this. For now, the word on the street is it's going to be the same syndicated show that you get on Sinclair that they're just going to have on Destination America, but the opportunity lies down the road for ROH to maybe do more dates and do a separate show for Destination America and have some fresh stuff on that show. So, you know, it expands ROH maybe possibly down the road from 1 hour of TV to 2 hours of TV, which for them is a good thing.
Do you think if ROH does do something new with the network that Destination America might throw some money into the company in terms of production value?
I don't think they necessarily have to. I mean Sinclair, that's the other thing. I think ROH came in for a cheaper price than TNA did because ROH is backed by Sinclair, so they don't have to. They don't need as much money out of a deal as TNA does. Sinclair's already taken care of a lot of that stuff. That said, Sinclair's been pretty cheap in the past, and any extra money they can bring into ROH, I think, is a good thing, because Sinclair, even as recently as January, was rumored to not want to invest more money into Ring of Honor. Now, if they take this money that they got from Destination America, whatever it was, this wasn't money Sinclair was going to get without ROH, so I would imagine a lot of that money is going to go back into ROH, and it's more money in the pot. We'll see, but, you know, it looks awfully bad for TNA, and I really see no risk in it for ROH.
And also, I mean, one of the big debates we've had on this podcast is ROH stars, you know, seemingly wanting to leave for the bigger markets of, you know, and the fresh waters of NXT and WWE. Maybe this Destination America deal convinces some of the talent to stick around for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got a few of their talent locked up. I mean, Adam Cole, the rumor is he has a 2-year deal the Briscoes are back. You know, so we'll see how it works out. I still think NXT is a worry for anyone that works on the independent scene. But yeah, does this help ROH out? Yeah, it builds their profile a little bit. They can run more shows, in theory, and we'll see how it all works out. But I just see it as this is, you know, added pie in the sky for ROH, where TNA it's just another nail in the coffin. And the other big thing about ROH, what this does is it finally puts to rest one of the biggest issues they have had, which is ROH is a great product, but guess what? I can't get it in New York, I can't get it in Chicago, I can't get it in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, all those major markets covered by Destination America. It's the perfect kind of blend for ROH. What they were missing, Destination America fills in those gaps pretty nicely.
So, so good.
So that's it. That's the big news of the week. It really floored everybody from Dave Meltzer on down. No one had an inkling of this. And the word on the street is it's because this deal came together so fast. Like, literally, Destination America approached ROH, and this deal, I am told, was literally, like, cut, like, within a week.
Oh, I was hearing it was, like, months in the making.
No. I don't,
it wasn't the case?
No. I know ROH had talks with Nesson. They had talks with Spike. They had talks with a bunch of people. Destination America was not on this list. And obviously not, because who was there? TNA Wrestling.
TNA, yeah.
It doesn't make any logical sense for either company to want to be on the same network. But if one's leaving, it makes total sense for the other.
Hopefully we don't get any Ring of Honor versus TNA crossover shows anytime soon.
Nah, I don't think that's happening. I think this was Destination America. Basically, what we had talked about, that email story that's out there, boy, does that seem to have a lot more validity to it now.
Yeah.
Based on what Destination America has done, because this seems like, oh yeah, here's the double bird, and, you know, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. So with that said, TNA Dixie, good luck with all your lawsuits. Good luck with explaining this all away. And yes, I'm sure you're thrilled to hear that ROH is coming on your network. In fact, what makes this all the more funny and proves TNA had no idea that this was coming, they had planned a talent call to explain all the Dave Meltzer stuff to the roster on the day that this story broke.
Wow, to be a fly on the wall for that conference call, man.
I don't think it ever happened.
You don't think so?
I don't think it happened. I think the call was mysteriously canceled, much like the meeting the WWE was supposed to have about the WWE network that CM Punk told us about that still to this day I have not heard happened.
Conference calls, man, they can be a B-I-T-C-H.
Yeah, those wrestler, you know, management meetings, they don't happen too often. This is what happens when you don't have a union, by the way.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I mean, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't happen in pro sports. Because they have unions, and unions, they want to know.
Do we have a union, James?
We don't have a union.
Well, son of a gun.
Well, you might with your new job, I don't know.
Maybe there's like a secret Swiss millennial union that I'm unaware of.
Well, get in touch with Cesaro and see if you're part of that union. It certainly hasn't helped him out in WWE, but that's a story for another day.
Poor guy.
Anyway, so that is the big news of the week. Not much else to tell you about TNA or ROH other than that. I think anything else would be anticlimactic at this point. I did mention ROH has got their toy deal, which is good for them. I may, in fact, get Adam Cole and Kevin Steen doll. And, big news, the next line of toys, guess who's in there?
Who?
The Young Bucks.
Young Bucks.
So I can have my own figure collection of Mount Rushmore, and that will be pretty awesome.
You going to get on that?
I might. You know, it's kind of weird being an adult wanting to buy, like, action figures, but this seems special. I think it's worth it.
Good for you not calling them toys, though. They are action figures.
Well, that's what they do when you're older, right? You call them action figures. They are not toys.
But are you going to leave them in the box, though? Do the whole, oh, no, they have more value that way.
No. I'm not one of these wacky collectors. Although I wish. When I was a kid, I had so much Star Wars stuff. I can't tell you how rich I would be if I had have not played with it.
Yeah, seriously, man.
Yeah.
Lesson learned. If you ever do the whole reincarnation thing, make better decisions next time.
Yeah, go back 30 years and just tell little 8-year-old me or however old I was, you know, hey, don't play with those, man.
Yeah.
We can buy a Corvette with the money we're going to get off these in 30 years. There you go. So that's that. I wanted to get your take on something from Raw, because I'm a huge fan of Entourage, and if memory serves me, we talked about this on the show once, and you haven't watched Entourage. You're not a fan of it at all, right?
I mean, it doesn't mean I'm not a fan. I just haven't given it the time of day yet.
Right, so you're not familiar with it. They're nothing to you.
I know some of the characters and some of the actors, but other than that, I don't really have a tie to it.
Anyway, the point is, you have no... I'm just trying to get on with things here, Chris.
All right, go for it.
You don't have much affinity for Entourage.
No.
Meaning, when you saw them on Monday night, you could have taken it or leaved it.
Exactly.
It wouldn't have mattered to you.
Right.
So that's what I want to get into with you, because I liked what Entourage did on Raw. A lot of people didn't. I thought they did a good job. I thought it was pretty funny that they mentioned when Jeremy Piven was on and called SummerSlam Summerfest.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool, and I thought the whole idea of using the fact that they're New Yorkers and one particularly, Kevin Conley, from Long Island to build up Zack Ryder for the John Cena Open Challenge, I thought everything was great with that. Am I wrong, or is this just me being an Entourage crazy fan that will be in line to watch the movie sometime next week?
No, it was cool, man. I mean, I like when the celebrities come on Raw and they do their little shticks and whatnot. I'm not nearly as opposed to it as the next guy, because I think it draws in new viewers and the occasional interest from the major network or whatnot. But, you know, doing the whole, introducing Zack Ryder, a lot of people in the crowd probably thought that one of the guys was going to try and get in the ring with John Cena, and it was going to be some sort of...
Well, Johnny Drama did.
Yeah.
Like he got in there, and then he, like, backed off, so that was funny.
But I mean, to do, like, an actual, like, maybe comedy match or whatever, and kind of ruin the whole rep that this U.S. Open Challenge has going for it, but, you know, it being the last Raw at the, what was it, the Nassau Coliseum?
Yeah.
So having Zack Ryder go out there and get his 5-minute match. He had a good showing, you know. John Cena's really putting over some of these lesser-known guys. I mean, Zack Ryder hit all of his signature moves, did the Rough Rider, had a couple of people in the stands thinking he might win, but Entourage raising his hand afterwards, I thought it was a cool moment for him. He even called it his WrestleMania moment afterwards on Twitter.
That said, when he got on the top rope to do that 450,
yeah.
I've never seen a wrestler more scared to do a move off the top rope than Zack Ryder
looked. Freaking out.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking there.
But it still looked pretty good for a guy who's... I don't remember him ever nailing that move before or even attempting it.
Clearly showing off for the Entourage guys.
Oh, yeah.
Zack Ryder.
Invite me to the after party, boys.
Yeah, maybe you can get free tickets to the movie. Maybe that's in the deal for Zack
exactly.
Ryder. But in all honesty, I think Zack Ryder just goes back to obscurity after this. But it was a nice moment for him, and it all worked with the celebrity. I think the one celebrity thing that doesn't work is musical acts. They suck. It doesn't matter who. Wrestling fans don't want a concert in their wrestling show. They just don't.
Well, too bad for you, because one of the guys is going... There's going to be a musical act coming up in the next couple of weeks on Raw to host Raw.
Yeah, I know, but they always suck. I mean, it's 100% like bathroom break material.
Well, it is, unless you're a fan of the musical act.
Yeah, unless you like the musical act. And that's why I wanted to get your opinion on Entourage, because I'm a huge fan of the Entourage show. I love it. I think it's great. I also thought it was great, too, and WWE dropping the hints again, as was Ronda Rousey this week. Turtle, Jerry Ferrara, brings up the fact that he gets into it with Ronda in the movie, and it was just like, how Ronda got into it with Stephanie, except he was acting. And I thought that was a pretty good line.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and Ronda is, she's hinting once again that, you know what, this wrestling thing isn't over. And she even implied that, you know, Dana might be in on this. And that wouldn't surprise me either, that Dana came out with that statement because Ronda wanted him to, because Ronda made the point of, if everybody knows when I'm coming, doesn't that take away from the surprise of it?
Yeah.
And it shows that Ronda really, truly is a wrestling fan. She wants to make an impact, and she wants to, like when she does come back, she wants it to be special, and she wants it to be a huge surprise. So, who knows?
Well, she'll be back, and we did get the big surprise at WrestleMania 31, and now we're kind of all expecting her to be doing something. So, but either way, we want Ronda Rousey in WWE in some capacity.
I think it's going to happen. I've said it all along. Ronda is too important to the UFC to bicker about something this small.
Exactly. Yeah, I would say
like
so
in
too.
Terms of the UFC, this is small to them. As long as she doesn't wrestle a match, I don't think the UFC cares what she does.
Which we don't think she'll be doing.
No, but a lot of people think she will. But I don't think you're getting Stephanie and Ronda straight up in a match. And quite honestly, where's the entertainment in that? I mean, like, Ronda's beating the best professional fighters in the world in 14 seconds. So how can she not beat Stephanie in, like, 5?
Exactly.
So
there's no realism there.
Yeah. You can't go there. It just wouldn't work. But, you know, unless you have Ronda cut a promo like she's doing with the fight that she's actually doing with Beth Cohea or whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah.
That Brazilian chick. And Ronda has said flat out she wants to punish this girl and make her suffer. If she said that about Stephanie, well, then maybe you could have a match.
Yeah,
but
true.
I don't,
we don't want to.
UFC doesn't want the match. Like,
no.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, and I mean, that girl, Ronda, if you've read her book or you know anything about her history, her father committed suicide.
Yeah.
And this girl came out and said something about Ronda should just go kill herself. My God, this girl is going to get hurt. I know we're not a UFC podcast or an MMA podcast, but this girl is going to get hurt. August 1st. Whatever the hell is going on in wrestling, go watch Ronda Rousey kick that girl's ass. It will be entertaining.
If there was ever a fight to go past the first round, it's probably this one, just because Rousey wants to kick the crap out of this girl.
Well, yeah, and she said flat out, the second Misha Tate fight, she let it go 3 rounds. She wanted to make Misha Tate suffer.
Yeah.
And when you're that good and you can call your shots like that, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see this.
Anyway, so that was that. Other than that, on Raw, we had this Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins build continue. I don't know what to make of it. I think Dean might actually have a chance in this match. We'll do predictions at the end of the show, but I really think Dean could have a shot in this match. I don't know why I think that, but I do.
At the end of the day, this is still kind of like a filler 2 weeks notice pay-per-view, and I don't really think that they're going to take the title off a guy that early. You know, Seth Rollins wins it at WrestleMania. I at least think he's going to carry it to SummerSlam, so I can't wait to hear why you think Ambrose has a shot here.
Yeah, we'll do that in the predictions, but I think I have a plot line lined up where it could all work out and make sense, so
all right.
we'll see. But anyway, that being said, other big news before we get to Kevin Owens, who will dominate the WWE portion of our podcast today. Brock Lesnar, we know when he's coming back. He's coming back apparently at Battleground in July, so that's a surprise. That would be an added event for him. We didn't expect to see him till SummerSlam, and also he's going to work the house shows in Japan, so that's interesting.
Against Kofi Kingston, of all people.
That why?
I don't know, but we're getting the big, you know, dream match of Lesnar versus Kofi.
Does Kofi have a death wish?
I have no idea. Maybe this is kind of like practice for Lesnar or something, but other than that, I don't see why Kofi is the one to
face. Are you sure it's not like just Brock against the entire New Day?
No, it was advertised on the Japan site. It's Kofi and Lesnar.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, Kofi can wrestle, and it is different in Japan.
Yeah.
So, like, it'll be a different style of match than we're used to over here.
They dig that.
Yeah, they and Kofi high flyer against the big strong guy. I can see why that would work in Japan, but still, pay up your insurance, Kofi. That could be painful. That's all I'm saying.
And then try and convince maybe Xavier Woods to get in there for a little bit.
And then as a lead-in to the Kevin Owens news, some unfortunate news for someone else who was in a big angle, Rusev on SmackDown. He's facing the Ryback and he gets hurt. Boy, I guess that CM Punk guy was onto something about that Ryback, eh?
He's a curse. You can't even be within 5 feet of the guy without breaking an ankle.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Rusev. They haven't really said what's wrong with him, but he is off shows up through August, and so that's not a good sign. Whatever is wrong with him is definitely a long-term thing.
Maybe it's the curse of having to do a long-term feud with John Cena. Maybe this is just a culmination of that.
Don't say that. Kevin's in a feud with John Cena.
No, he'll break the trend. I'm saying Kevin Owens is a special cat.
Kevin Owens, at this rate, is going to be on the video game this year.
I hope so.
It's like, literally on the cover. He'll be in the video game, I have no doubt. But on the cover. It could happen.
That
but
sweet.
Anyway, so Rusev is gone now. What the hell are they going to do with this Lana angle now?
I guess they're just going to stick Lana with Dolph Ziggler and just kind of continue with the whole managerial, you know, love angle that they're kind of rolling with right now.
Basically, they're going to do what I said. Because what I had said is, in fact, Dolph was one of the people I named, right?
Yeah.
They're going to Americanize her. Dolph is going to take her out for like 12-inch hot dogs. That hair is going to come out of that bun. We're going to see her in a bikini. It's going to be great.
Oh, a bikini. Now
the guys under like 25 are going to love this.
Well, I'm 26, and I'll dig it.
Oh, yeah. But you have a girlfriend, so I was trying to bail you out there, Walter.
But I could look.
Ooh, all right.
Thanks for trying to help, but yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, you can look, but there's consequences for looking.
That is true.
Anyway.
I've learned in the past.
That's it. Young single males, and if you're not single and you're a disgusting pervert, you guys too, could all get ready for some Vince McMahon Lana transformation. That's going to be fun. And now they don't even have to worry about Rusev to do it. And I guess Rusev can come back and be totally disgusted with what's become of Lana. That'll be his program when he comes back.
Unless she's in the bikini, then he can't possibly be disgusted. He'll dig it. He'll embrace it.
No, he'll be disgusted because his promo this week, what a, old school kind of old country promo. Like, you're my property. How dare you? And all this. Rusev was the chauvinist of chauvinists. I kind of dug it.
And now he's Bulgarian again?
He's back to being Bulgarian.
Wow.
The Russian thing was all just to impress the girl.
Yeah.
Wow. So what happened to the medal is what I want to know.
Wasn't there a report that, some fan stole it or something?
Didn't maybe the Soviets took back the medal once they heard he was going back to Bulgaria.
Yeah, God, he's, doing it's not a completely new character, but yeah, he's just going to run through the gamut of all the countries. Maybe he'll become a Swiss.
I need kayfabe news to get on top of this story. What happened to Rusev's Russian medal? Kayfabe news, come on.
Yeah, that's what
this
we're
is right up your alley. Kayfabe news, one of the great sites out there. If you have not come across it, funny stuff that these guys put out on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's jokes.
Oh, it's great. It's great stuff. Anyway, that said, so Rusev is on the shelf for at least till August. We already knew about Hideo Itami on NXT this week. They definitely did build up the idea that Kevin Owens may well have been the guy who did that too. So Kevin Owens maybe working a program with Hideo Itami, maybe not with all the news for Kevin this week, but at least on NXT programming, they planted the seed that Kevin indeed may have been the guy to attack Hideo Itami.
Does Owens need any more feuds or future feuds at this point? I feel like his calendar is pretty much booked for the next year or two at this point.
Well, I think his calendar has somewhat changed with the biggest news of the week involving Kevin. If you have been living under a rock and have not heard this, due to the injury to Rusev and some other things, Kevin Owens is officially on the main roster and still your NXT champion and will be doing that stuff too. Going to be doing house shows for the main roster. They haven't figured it out with the NXT touring yet what they want to do. If Kevin will go work with NXT when they tour and get the WWE house shows off and then come back on with the main roster. But bottom line, Kevin Owens, less than a year in, is on the main roster. Sami Zayn, 2 years in what? And still not on the main roster. I have a feeling between those two, that will be an inside joke for years to come.
If there was ever, like, evidence that, like, Triple H has, like, his number one favorite in NXT, and it's Kevin Owens, like, I mean, for guys like me and you who have been following this guy's career for so long, and we were rooting for him to get on the main roster right away and just kind of be that main event guy that we know he can be, and, like, holy crap, just look over the last couple of weeks just how far his push has gone. Like, we thought originally that this was just kind of going to be a U.S. Open Challenge stick, and they were going to tease the future match. But look where we are now. He has a bout coming up on Sunday against the biggest star in the company in John Cena. He's officially on the main roster. He's still the NXT champion. It feels like the last couple of weeks the entire company has revolved around Kevin Owens.
It really has. I mean, that video we talked about his son Owen, that was on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
SportsCenter.
It went viral.
WWE does not get on SportsCenter very often. The last time they did was for E60, obviously. And then before that, Brock Lesnar. But it's not a regular, everyday occurrence that ESPN is like, oh, yeah, the WWE, you know. And Michelle Beadle's no longer on board, so they lost that ally. What a loss she is.
Yeah, Beadle.
I don't like the Beadle. I think we've had that rant on this show before.
Yeah, we have. We don't need to go in that again.
But anyway, that being said, it was a huge deal. And the thing that fascinates me the most about what's going on is not so much the in-ring stuff, the fact that he's laid out Cena 2 weeks in a row in the ring. Lots of people have done that to John Cena. What hasn't happened is the interactions they have had on the microphone. Kevin Owens has been totally disrespectful of everything John Cena stands for. He's wearing his t-shirts. He's doing his moves. Like, and he's cutting him off and telling him, like, to basically stick it, like, and he's doing the same thing with Michael Cole. That interview he did with Michael Cole on SmackDown was fantastic. He wouldn't let Cole get a word in edgewise. He basically interviewed himself, and it was fantastic.
He's being Kevin Steen on the main roster. He's being Kevin Steen on the microphone. Like, this is the guy we've known from Ring of Honor and how, like, potent he can be with his words and how disrespectful. And it's so damn good because John Cena, the guy who stands for hustle, loyalty, and respect, is the complete opposite of that. So the contrast of styles here is way too perfect.
And it's sarcastic, too. Like, it's the sarcasm that Kevin has. And even the interviews he's done with Renee Young. Like, tapping in on the fact that, you know, she kind of likes Sami Zayn and making her say, like, who was the guy to put Sami Zayn out? Who was that, Renee? And Renee says nothing. No, go on! And makes her say it. Like, Kevin's just on fire. Like, he really is. Like, and he was really, really good in Ring of Honor. And he's been really, really good at PWG. But he is really hitting his stride right now, like, as a performer. He's really embraced this and is running with this. And, you know, it's Kevin Owens is taking no prisoners. And I heard his interview with Chris Jericho. It was the typical Chris Jericho stuff. Not much was said. But one of the things that came out of it is Kevin Owens really, from early on, got told, be you. Don't be anybody else. Be you. And the WWE has embraced him being himself. And, you know, even though he says he sees a difference in Kevin Owens and Kevin Steen, the difference is very little.
Kevin Owens right now, I mean, I remember, was it the Sam Roberts interview or the Jericho podcast or whatever? He said he had, like, a number of singlets that he was ready to wear for NXT, because he didn't think for a second that they were going to let him do the whole tank top.
Yeah, he said it in both, but go on.
But, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think the best part of Kevin Owens right now is the fact that he's kind of embracing himself, and he's bringing everything that he's learned over the independent scene for the years, and now he's putting it on the big stage. And I think the reason he's delivering so good, albeit because he's a terrific performer, is that I think in the back of his mind, he doesn't want this whole dream scenario to end. And we've heard, you know, in the past, and we've seen firsthand what Vince McMahon does with some of these NXT guys. And I think Kevin Owens is trying to establish himself and not giving management a reason for him to ever move back down the card or to ever go back to NXT. Like, Kevin Owens is a main event guy, and I think he's here to stay.
I mean, in Raw, the Authority has almost started to embrace Kevin Owens, to the point that Seth Rollins, after Stephanie said nice things about Kevin, said, oh yeah, Kevin's great, but you don't need to worry about him. And it almost gave the impression of, not that Kevin Owens doesn't have enough feuds on his plate, but maybe down the line, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are going to get into it. I don't know. But the fact that Stephanie's now putting him over, I mean, I'm almost inclined to think maybe even Vince likes him. I mean, he has met Vince. He said that on the Jericho podcast. And so maybe even Vince is on board with Kevin Steen, which would be odd. But then again, I think his biggest backer being Triple H, I think that's odd because Triple H has always been a body guy. I mean, he's a fitness freak. And to look at a guy like Kevin, like the fact that he can see past the fact that Kevin, let's face it, isn't going to win the Arnold Classic in any year or anytime soon, but he still sees the talent in this guy, it says something for Triple H.
You can't ignore it. I mean, Kevin Owens has proven, I mean, he's only been in NXT for like a short time. He's already been the NXT champion. He's drawing in insane reactions. He's already done like the dream match scenario with Sami Zayn, and then they're teasing the Samoa Joe stuff. But to ignore, you know, what Kevin Owens brings to the table, sure, he has a little bit of a gut, but he's gotten himself into incredible shape since coming over from Ring of Honor. Like, I mean, some of the photos he's posting on Twitter of him hitting the weight room, I mean, holy crap, it's kind of like what we saw with Bray Wyatt for a little bit, because he looked physically out of shape, and he's gotten himself into pretty good conditioning, and Kevin Owens is doing the same for himself. But, again, just looking at him, you know, the farmer's tan and the tank top and the scruffy beard, he's not your typical WWE John Cena-esque type, but Triple H would be absolutely out of his mind to not use Kevin Owens to his fullest potential here.
Yeah, and I mean Kevin's never admitted like with Jericho's podcast, he's never really been around like weights and had anyone tell him like what to do or how to train. Like, he's just kind of, you know, he's went and done cardio and lifted things. That's what he said. But now, like, he has, like, experienced people teaching him how to work out properly and, you know, probably helping him out with his diet and stuff like that. He does look great. And so what if he's not a bodybuilder? And so what if he's not, you know, everything that, you know, you would expect a wrestler to be? And you know, Vince Russo, of course, has jumped on the bandwagon of bashing Kevin Owens along with Sami Zayn. And he said that Kevin Owens looks like a guy that climbed the guardrail. And he sees that as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I see that as the exact reason why Kevin Owens gets over. Because whether we believe it or not, we see Kevin as someone realistic that actually could be us. A lot of guys we look at in the WWE, we don't think could be us. I mean, John Cena is not us. Roman Reigns is definitely not us. And on and on and on. But Kevin looks like a guy you'd see at any bar on a Friday night.
It's kind of like the same formula that got Daniel Bryan so popular. You know, being the underdog with the lumberjack look, and even Dean Ambrose to an extent. You know, he doesn't look like what the main event WWE talents, you know, from years past, like John Cena and Dave Bautista and Randy Orton. They're kind of like in another demographic, so to speak, in terms of looks and physical appearance. Now we're seeing WWE embrace the fact that fans, especially the smarter fans like us, you know, who followed all of these independent guys and kind of followed them up from the bottom to the top, we're going to be rooting for them, even if they don't look like the big muscle-headed boneheads. So, I mean, this is kind of like a future for WWE, and I think they need to continue doing this.
The biggest star the WWE has had, it's arguable, but the biggest star the WWE has had within their own midst is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And why that worked, and I'm not saying Kevin's going to be Stone Cold.
Yeah.
But why that worked, and people say it about Dean Ambrose when they compare him to Stone Cold, and the same is true with Kevin Owens. He's that everyman. Kevin Owens is that everyman. Dean Ambrose is that everyman. Stone Cold Steve Austin was that guy who related to the everyman, with the exception of the guy who's the everyman. You have your job. You're going to be working tomorrow. If you went in and said to your boss, I don't want to do this story, and gave him a stunner, you'd be fired on Monday.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin? No. Kevin Owens? No. Dean Ambrose? No. And that is so simplistic, but it appeals to people because people are trapped in the reality of life. In the WWE, the reality of life doesn't exist like it does in the real world.
And, I mean, in terms of, like, being a heel, because Stone Cold Steve Austin was always a bad guy. We were just rooting for him because he was anti-authority. But with Kevin Owens, he's like a special kind of heel, because some of the promos he's done and the backstage segments talking about his kids and talking about his wife and how he's doing this all for his family, we've never seen that before with a wrestler. And it almost kind of makes you, in a way, want to root for him, because his intentions are pure. He wants to make all of the money because he wants to be providing a quality life for his wife and kids. But again, you know, you're rooting against him because of the way he's disrespectful, the way he's stomping on the U.S. title. But it's kind of a good mix of both, and that's why I think Kevin Owens is going to be so successful, because he you know, a huge variety of the WWE universe can find a reason to like him.
No. That's why I'm rooting for him, because he stepped on the U.S. title and because he does all that stuff. But it goes to the thing, and there's been very few guys who have been able to pull this off in wrestling. And I think it's why I like heels as opposed to baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens is a bad guy, but he tells the truth. What's not truthful about what he said? He said when he was going to go into the match with Sami Zayn, I'm going to take him out. And that's what he did. And now he's bragging about the fact that he took him out. He said he's doing all this for his family. It's true. He is. Like, and that was one of the things. I used to love Jesse Ventura on commentary, because he would always baffle Gorilla Monsoon and baffle Vince McMahon with saying stuff that was true. When baby faces would cheat, Jesse would point it out. Hey, McMahon, why don't you complain when Steamboat hooks the tights on Savage? Why don't you complain when Tito Santana puts his hands on a ref? You know, like, which is real. And they don't. And Jesse would call people out on that. And I think Kevin does that as a wrestler. He calls people out on their BS. And, you know, he kind of tears down that wall that's supposed to be up there, where we're not supposed to think about that stuff. They're just supposed to be good guys and bad guys. Well, Kevin kind of blurs that wall and tears it down a little bit. I think he does a great job of it. He did it in ROH. He does it now today. But I really think he's doing the best stuff of his career. And to wrap up this Kevin Owens love fest, other than predicting his match later on, the new gear, what did you think of it? I liked it. It's kind of like the WWE putting a little bit of a stamp on him, but it's still Kevin.
I like it. It's like it's a cross between basketball and boxing shorts. I mean, you can't keep going with like the typical black, like you grabbed it from Athlete's World or whatever, and you know, there's no real signature Kevin Owens look, but I'm digging it. It's a step up from what he was wearing before.
Yeah, and you know, you can make those different color shirts now, because now we've added a little silver to the black, and you know.
Fight Owens, fight! I love it. I can't. They ran with it in Ring of Honor, and now they're running with it now, and it's perfect. I absolutely love it.
And John Cena putting it over, like my mouth dropped when John Cena cut that promo.
Like which promo?
The whole idea of maybe finally it's going to be the end of let's go Cena, Cena sucks. Maybe it's going to be let's go Cena, fight Owens, fight. When he said that, I was like, holy God.
Wow.
Like, it appears John is among the people that's on board with this. Because, like, we've given him all kinds of praise for this U.S. Open Challenge and all of that. That's one thing. It's one match. Like at the end of the day, it's one match for John Cena. And he ends up winning. So, you know, who really cares?
Yeah.
For him. But this is different. He's entering with a program with a guy who, you know, in all intents and purposes, for the hardcore wrestling fans, is very well known. But for the average John Cena teeny bopper fans, they have no idea who Kevin Owens is.
Well, that's why Cena, I mean, we've seen him do, like, the work with some of the NXT guys. He worked with Neville, he worked with Sami Zayn, now he's working with Kevin Owens.
But this is different.
Yeah, like, he must be 100% on board with, like, doing a program with Kevin Owens. And I really don't think it's going to end at the Chamber. I could see this running for the next couple of months.
I got news for you. It's not ending at the Chamber, and that'll influence my picks. WWE's tour in Australia. Kevin Owens and John Cena is on that card.
Nice.
So it looks like this could actually be John Cena's SummerSlam program.
Maybe. Oh my God, wouldn't that be something?
It could be. Like John's traditional pathway lately has been 3 and 4 matches with guys. I mean, if this is where we're heading, it could be that.
Nice. Well, we would love that. The second biggest pay-per-view of the year, Owens and Cena again.
It would be great. I mean, like, but then again, we've said that before with Cena and Rusev, with Cena and Wyatt. They haven't looked as good on the way out as they did coming in. I think Kevin Owens will look as good on the way out. Maybe I'm being a cockeyed optimist, but I really do. I think WWE sees something in Kevin that we've all seen, but we just didn't ever imagine the WWE would see it.
Well, here we are, right?
And with that said, here we are, Elimination Chamber. John Cena and Kevin Owens will be on that card. We'll leave that for a little bit later. Let's start with, we haven't talked Divas yet today, Chris Walder. So how about we start with our lovely Divas match. We have Nikki Bella, the ever-present, ever-awful Divas champion, versus Paige versus Naomi. I will keep predicting that Nikki Bella will lose because eventually I will be right. I think Naomi will win only because Paige is going to be so heavily involved with Tough Enough. I can't imagine them putting the belt on her right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much guaranteeing right now that there's going to be a title change here. I think the whole Nikki Bella title reign has run its course. She's done a lot more with it than I thought she would, but at the same time, all good things must come to an end, and I agree with you. I think this is Naomi's time to shine. A great point with Paige doing the Tough Enough shtick. I think that is definitely going to take up most of her schedule. And then you can roll with maybe Naomi versus Nikki at the next pay-per-view, or you could start bringing up some of these NXT girls in a perfect world.
Yeah, or you could have the other sister go after Naomi.
No, I don't. No Brie. No Brie mode.
I don't want to see it. I'm just saying that's the direction they could go.
But again, since Naomi is like a certified heel now, I mean, God, the wrestling itself. I mean, if you have Charlotte come up, you do Charlotte versus Naomi for the summer?
I don't know. I just think the NXT women, I think Stephanie and Triple H want to make significant changes to the Divas division and make it the women's division again, but I think they're very hesitant to put those girls in the hands of Vince McMahon.
Well, unfortunately, the only three Divas in the division right now capable of being champion are in this triple threat match. So if Paige is taken out because of Tough Enough and Nikki loses the belt, you have to run with Naomi versus Nikki. But after that, who is left?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Natalya's always around.
Yeah,
she hasn't been wrestling lately, but she's always around. But I think Triple H especially, I think he's very leery of them screwing with these girls that he wants to bring up because they're great. I mean, what Sara Del Rey has done with these girls is amazing. And, you know, Sara Del Rey has to take on a new project, though. Our girl, Brooke.
Yeah, make that a priority.
Yeah, they got to fix her. Because I like her talking. I think she's great. I think she's arrogant as all hell, which is fine, but the in-ring, it's gotta pick up. Like, we gotta fix her, because, you know, she's looking like the female version of Baron Corbin at this point.
Not everyone in NXT can shine right away, and she's a work in progress. She's not going to be making the jump to the main roster anytime soon, that's sure.
Oh, yeah, before we get into finishing up with our predictions for Elimination Chamber, I have to say, I still don't like Blake and Murphy, but I do like Alexa Bliss as a heel.
Yes, I liked it too. I saw NXT, she actually works well with those guys.
And she keeps them from talking.
Yes.
Which is a good thing.
And
the one thing I have said on this program, and you've laughed at me, but I've said Alexa Bliss reminds me of Trish Stratus. Boy, oh boy, am I taken back to when Trish Stratus managed TNA.
She's a long way away from being a Trish Stratus clone, but...
No, but...
Give you crap for that.
But that was, like, the beginning of Trish. Like...
Yeah, well...
Managing the tag team, doing wrestling here and there. I like this for Alexa Bliss.
You could have made the same case about Natalya when she started out.
Yeah, I don't know. But, but that was different because everyone knew she could wrestle.
But seriously, though, they need to get rid of that entrance for Blake and Murphy.
That's going to kill someone. But that said, I do like Alexa Bliss the heel. I love the promo in the back. She made fun of Devon Taylor, which always gets over with me. If you make fun of Devon Taylor, I am going to like you in NXT. Because Devon Taylor needs to be made fun of. It's just that obvious.
It's a good pairing, though, with Blake and Murphy, but I would really like to see Bliss kind of throw herself back into the title picture.
I liked how she did the splash, too, on the downed opponent. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, it was unique.
Yeah. So let's get back to Elimination Chamber. I had to put over Alexa Bliss. I thought it was great. People may not agree with me, but I saw a young Trish Stratus with TNA. That's what I saw. Different guys. No Test and Albert. Blake and Murphy can only hope to be Test and Albert. But that said, I liked it.
Well, it's still that entrance, though. Just get rid of that epileptic seizure-inducing crap.
Someone's going to die, and there'll be a lawsuit, and that'll be the end of it.
As long as it's on me.
Yeah, oh, by the way, officially, the curb stomp gone. Seth Rollins revealed at one of those Comic-Con type Q&A things.
It's going to be the pedigree for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Weird, but I guess it'll serve a storyline purpose.
Yes. It'll do whatever it does. It makes you think there'll be a Triple H Seth match at some point.
Yeah.
One other big piece of news before we carry on with our Elimination Chamber predictions. Paul Heyman's going to be on Monday, as people know, on the Stone Cold podcast, because Chris Jericho, as we said on this podcast, couldn't hold Stone Cold's jockstrap. But it also was revealed this week and kind of buried in all the news that was. The Undertaker in July happening. That is going to be huge.
That's going to be... we haven't seen him do anything of the sort since, you know, way back at WrestleMania 18, he did a shoot interview with Michael Landsberg of Off the Record, and that was the last real time we saw him discuss the wrestling business and the ongoings behind the scenes. But now, I mean, we know what Stone Cold Steve Austin's capable of asking. With The Undertaker there, I mean, that's must watch.
Yeah, and I mean, he has been on DVDs out of character a few times, but that's WWE-produced stuff. Not that this isn't, but it is Stone Cold doing the interview, and that should be something coming in July. So I wanted to mention that, because I think that'll be the biggest one of all, to be honest. It'll be bigger than Vince.
Oh, 100%.
Because we just don't hear from The Undertaker. As you said, that off-the-record interview is, like, rare. And Undertaker was pretty, you know, direct in that interview. Like, really slammed the Big Show in that interview, and yet he's still around.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Anyway, but he's not on Elimination Chamber. You know who is? A bunch of people in the Hell in the... What is
Elimination Chamber.
I wanted to say Hell in the Cell. Whatever. You know what it is. That big thing, that monstrosity that is the Elimination Chamber. There'll be men in it fighting for the Intercontinental title. One of them will be R-Truth, which is amusing. And now, one of them won't be Rusev. So, my first question is, who will fill the pod that was reserved for Rusev?
It's reportedly going to be Bray Wyatt.
That makes sense.
It makes no sense. I hope that was sarcastic.
No, it makes sense. Like, if, let's put it this way, before all this happened with Rusev, he was my money to win the title.
Yes.
So, if it's not the other five guys in the match and you don't want them to be champion, Bray Wyatt's never won a title. Maybe. Yeah.
And he beat Ryback at the last pay-per-view. Had Ryback gotten this thing?
He did. So you've got a storyline for Ryback and the other guy and Bray Wyatt. Yeah, maybe the man who wasn't supposed to be in the match wins the Intercontinental title. It would go in line with how things have gone for the Intercontinental title. Let's face it. It has been a horrible decade for the Intercontinental title. Is that too strong a word?
No, it's been that bad, you're right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I it just hasn't worked out for the Intercontinental title. Vacant has held it more than actual people.
But, I mean, if Bray Wyatt is the replacement, he jumps right to the forefront of favorites to win this thing, correct?
Yeah, I think he is going to win. I just said it. I think Bray Wyatt will actually win this match.
If not, and it's kind of like a filler guy like Kane, for example, do any of the other five guys, you know, think they have a chance there? I think Sheamus would be the favorite otherwise.
Sheamus was supposed to win. That was the rumor on the dirt sheets and that.
Yeah.
But I think now that it's been so widely out there that Sheamus is going to win, I don't think he will.
My definite pick, I mean, if Bray Wyatt enters, I think he'll be one of the top two favorites. I'm going to go with Dolph Ziggler. I think if for whatever reason, these big matches in the mid-card, he kind of thrives in, and I think that a heel is going to win the other chamber match. So just for, like, you know, the crowd's sake, I think they might throw it on a face here. And with Lana by his side and Rusev out of the picture for the next couple of months, I'm going to go with Ziggler.
Yeah, but that's why I say it won't be Ziggler, because I think Ziggler's going to be too caught up in doing vignettes with Lana and not being, like, a fighting champion, which is what this title desperately needs, a fighting champion. Not to say that Bray Wyatt has been that. Bray Wyatt is a talking champion. But, you know, maybe it gets Bray doing less promos and doing more fighting. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it brings the family all back together. Maybe this is how we do it.
R-Truth has zero chance. King Barrett has a little bit. I mean,
I would give R-Truth more chance than King Barrett, to be honest.
Really? Wow.
The King of the Ring has been a D-push for King Barrett.
It's done nothing for him.
It's done less than nothing for him. I think he's worse off.
How do you figure he's
because he has
off
to wear that stupid crown and cape and gimmick. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
And you would think it would, because he's British in the whole nine yards, but no, I don't like it at all.
Nothing. He's strung together a couple of wins, but no one really cares the fact that he's the king.
Were they on the main event? Were they, like, where were these wins?
Well, R-Truth beat him on SmackDown, right?
Yeah. That's Superstars, did he win?
No.
So I'm going Bray Wyatt.
I'll take Ziggler.
And if Bray Wyatt isn't in the match, I'll go with Triple H's workout buddy, Sheamus.
There you go.
Who, by the way, the Sheamus becoming, well, not The Rock. He's not doing San Andreas, but another movie role landed for the big Sheamus. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, he's going to be one of the two goons in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes, but I don't understand this. Isn't that guy a Rhino?
Yeah, he is.
So why wouldn't they just get Rhino?
Yeah, wah, wah.
Anyway, but that's it. Sheamus developing the Hollywood resume. And I would say a better resume than John Cena.
I think that's for sure, yeah.
Definitely better than The Miz.
He's never been a Marine, thank God for that.
No, he will never do the Marine. That is the kiss of death, the Marine. Summer Rae.
Playing a cartoon rhino while he's not an actual rhino could be a death sentence.
Actually, we skipped over this, but on the pre-show, speaking of The Miz, which I hate to do, but he's going to have Daniel Bryan on. What the heck is Daniel Bryan going to talk about?
His upcoming DVD release?
Yeah, that's what they say, but, like, why are this is worthy of dragging Daniel Bryan out there and, like, making him have to talk to The Miz? Like,
it's odd, yeah. I don't get it. I mean, unless there's... Is there something we don't know here? Like, maybe Bryan's fine again?
I don't know. positive news? I don't know.
Weird. But, I don't know. I guess they couldn't figure out.
Well, he could promote Tough Enough, too, as well, I suppose, because he's going to be on that.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. So, other than that, I mean, I guess it's just going to be him shilling out WWE stuff.
Anyway, it is what it is. We have another chamber match, not Hell in the Cell. I got it this time. First ever tag team chamber match. This reeks of being just a train wreck of a match.
It really does.
Like, I mean, when you consider four of the teams are basically glorified jobbers, and the New Day and Cesaro and Kid, I mean, I think for this match, if they do it properly, all three of New Day should be in the pod, and they should be the last ones to get out. Because I think I'll be watching New Day in the pod rather than the match until they come out.
Them trying to, like, squeeze in there would
be
hilarious.
Yeah, with Big E and Kofi and the other one. I just think that'll be comedy in and of itself.
But in terms of the actual winner of the match, I mean, I don't think there's any chance they're going to take the titles off the New Day. This whole run has been too hilarious and too entertaining. The only other team that has a realistic shot is Kid Zorro, but they just lost the belt, so.
Yeah. The only other ones I would say, for some reason, the primetime players. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, they have, like, I would say, if we're doing percents here, I would say the New Day are roughly 70, 75. Then Kid Zorro, 20. I would give, you know, PTP 5 or so.
Yeah, I think they have a shot only because they've been gone for so long. I don't think they're as devalued as, you know, Los Jobadors. The Lucha Dragons are in this. They're not jobbers, obviously, but I don't think they're ready. And this isn't really a match that showcases what they can do, like, in that chamber. I don't think that'll be a good environment for them.
I will say this, though. I think they'll be the last team standing with the New Day at the very end. I think it's too obvious for it to be Kid Zorro and the New Day, and I think WWE will throw a little wrench in the plans, and we'll have the New Day pin the Lucha Dragons to retain.
So who's going to end up feuding with Kid and Cesaro out of this? Because obviously someone will. That's going to be your ending.
They'll either be lost to obscurity, or I would love to see them do a program with Harper and Rowan, if at all possible, if we don't see a reunion at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, they're wandering around out there.
Yeah, I can't figure out why they're not in this match.
Well, I can, because, like, I think they want them to be, especially if you get babyface champions out of it, they're, like, the obvious number one contenders. So maybe that says it might not work out for New Day.
I guess maybe they don't want to kind of give them a loss, because I don't think they'd be winning the match. And if they do a reunion with Bray Wyatt, they want them to look as strong as possible. So, again, I think a reunion is definitely likely. But,
yeah.
Again, I'm kind of disappointed they're not in there over Los Wastadores.
You know, maybe you could do the whole thing they did with The Shield with the Wyatts. Bray comes out with the Intercontinental title. The next week on Raw, out come Rowan and Harper, and they take care of the New Day, and all three of them have titles, and people would go nuts for that.
I'd also like Sandow and Axel in there over Los Matadores. Again, it really is like a lot of jobber teams in one of WWE's biggest attraction matches.
I wouldn't. I mean, those two, that gimmick, I hate it.
They're entertaining.
They're not entertaining. I hate it. I think it's such an insult. I'm not a Hogan fan, so you can insult Hogan all you want. But I think it's such an insult to Randy Savage. I hate that gimmick. And I don't blame Sandow necessarily, but, you know, this is just, it's horrible. And someone did it better. Like, Jay Lethal did this gimmick, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
And it was way better.
In TNA, and just knocked it out of the park. And initially, I'll be honest with you, initially I hated the gimmick when Jay Lethal did it. But then when I got to learn that Jay Lethal was actually a huge Randy Savage fan and he loved it and all that, and actually Randy actually approved of Jay Lethal doing it, then I felt totally different about this. Randy Savage, as JBL pointed out on commentary, and I totally agree with him, is rolling over in his grave doing, like, spins. I totally agree with JBL on that one. So.
Well, I mean, he's given the gimmick, you know, WWE has nothing else to do for him, so Macho Mandel, I suppose, for the...
It's awful.
I don't know.
I just... They're not on this pay-per-view, I'm glad. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, what else do we got on this thing? I know two more matches. Is there anything else that I'm missing?
There are three more matches.
Okay, what's the one I'm missing? You know the two that I know.
Neville versus Bo Dallas.
Oh, right, this classic.
Hey, shut up. These are my boys right here, my two faves.
In all honesty, this is a much bigger match for Bo Dallas than it is for Neville, I think, because Bo Dallas has been just buried in no man's land. And for Neville, this is a bad sign that he's working with Bo, because Bo really hasn't been given much steam at all. So I Neville should win this easily, I would think. But, you know, who knows with the way WWE books things. But I just think this program as a whole is a bad sign if you're an Adrian Neville fan.
I don't think so at all. I think this is a special circumstance, considering you have six of the guys in the mid-card right now in the Elimination Chamber match, and they wanted to fill out the rest of the card with something. That's why you have R-Truth in the chamber over Neville, because you wouldn't want to see a singles R-Truth match, you know, R-Truth versus Stardust again. I don't think so. So Neville versus Bo Dallas, you can do something quick with those two, because there's a history there. Neville ended Bo Dallas's reign as NXT champion. NXT is huge right now, so a lot of people kind of realize that. They'll have their one-off at Elimination Chamber. Neville wins.
I don't know. The Stardust is fighting like television stars now. Some superhero show. Do you know who that guy was?
The guy who plays the Green Arrow on Arrow.
Oh, thank you. So is this a popular thing?
Yeah, it's actually pretty popular. It has a pretty good following.
This is me being old man James, which happens on this show quite a lot.
Did you know The Flash has a show, too?
I see the ads on CTV for The Flash, so I'm aware of that one.
Same ballpark.
Okay, so one of these stupid superhero things. How has The Hurricane not gotten a comeback out of all these superhero movies and all that? Like, how can't he do, like, a run-in? Like in WWE, like,
sure thing, boss.
I don't know. Like, he was ahead of his time, apparently. Hurricane.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Hurricane will not be involved at Elimination Chamber that we know of. He might be the replacement in the Intercontinental Title match. Who knows?
Oh God!
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
What was that?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, probably won't be. Two big matches left. Probably the reason that 90% of the people are watching this show at all. We'll start with champion versus champion. Kevin Owens, the NXT champion, versus John Cena, the U.S. champion. No title on the line here, because it is champion versus champion. First of all, do you dig the fact that Owens isn't going for that belt?
That's saying something right there, that the U.S. title isn't on the line, and that kind of makes me lean towards, you know, Kevin Owens maybe picking up the upset victory here. But I don't think there's a problem with it, because remember when he did his first promo to John Cena saying, I'm not really interested in being U.S. champion because I got the real prize here. I'm the NXT champion. So I mean, you go ahead, win, be your U.S. Open Challenge crap. I'm going to keep defending the title in NXT where it matters there. So, again, no reason for there to be a title on the line here.
And I think down the line, Vince McMahon, for all his faults, one of the things he's been very good at is tapping into what we here up in Canada get behind and dig. And the fact that we, although we're friends with the Americans, we kind of like it when our guys stick it to the American guys in wrestling. I think down the line, that's why Kevin has kind of disrespected the U.S. title and all of that part of this angle. I really think it's to make him that Canadian kind of anti-hero.
Well, we love it. We love it here north of the border, man. Oh, Canada. That's maple syrup, all that good stuff.
That's right. My only regret with Kevin not going for the title is he cannot turn it into the Canadian heavyweight title.
Like Lance Storm did back in the day?
Yes. They all had acronyms, though. I can't remember them all.
It was the Canadian Heavyweight Championship, and he had like the 15th.
The Saskatchewan something or other. There was one that was from Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Kevin won't be doing that. He will be going one-on-one with John Cena. Now, a lot of stuff has changed even since this match was made. So maybe it could have been for the title had we known Kevin Owens was sticking around on the roster. But we didn't know that. Or maybe all along this was scheduled to be a long program. That'll be one for the storybooks when they write the acceptance speech for Kevin Owens into the WWE Hall of Fame. Because apparently yeah, he's on that track. But honestly, they didn't know that Kevin was going to be around for as long as he was. So I don't know if that changes anything to do with this match, but I tend to agree with you. The fact that it isn't for the title screams that Cena's going to lose.
Or, which my actual prediction will be, I think John Cena's going to win, but it's going to be by disqualification. I think we're going to see another example of what Owens did to Sami Zayn when he became NXT champion, where he's just going to unleash a series of power bombs, or he's just going to keep attacking him until the referee, you know, signals for the bell. I think this match is about making Kevin Owens look good. I will say this, there is absolutely no chance that Kevin Owens is going to be straight up pinned or submitted in this match.
Yeah, just don't have Kevin end up in an I Quit match with John Cena.
Oh, my God.
Kevin is not that stupid.
Worst case scenario.
His character, though, is not that stupid.
No.
Like, I would love to have, like, if this is going to be a continuing program, I would love to have Cena throw out, like, I'll face you in an I Quit match. And Kevin goes, are you nuts?
Hell no.
Like, you think I'm stupid? You think I haven't been watching the program for 10 years? No, I don't think so. I'll pass on that. So, yeah, I think Kevin will win. I think Kevin's going to win straight up. I really do. I don't know why I think this, because WWE logic screams John Cena will win.
Yes.
But for some reason, the stars have aligned for Kevin Owens. Nothing goes wrong for this man. I mean, honestly, nothing has gone wrong since he walked in the door.
He's never going to lose.
He may be. Maybe that's his gimmick. Maybe he's the new Goldberg.
Has he lost?
He hasn't.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he might have lost by DQ in NXT. But yeah. He hasn't had a match in WWE officially. I know he's wrestled dark matches on shows, but officially he hasn't lost in WWE because he hasn't had a match.
Oh, well, it's kind of like in Ring of Honor, right? He went a couple of years without getting pinned.
Yeah, I don't know. Ring of Honor has those, people haven't been pinned, people have been this and that. It's confusing. I'll say that. But anyway,
yes.
I think Kevin Owens will start his WWE, I don't know, is it special event, pay-per-view, whatever the hell they call this, 1-0. He's going to take down John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if his son will forgive him because his son is a John Cena fan. That's interesting. Who is Owen rooting for in this? That's what I want to know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe we'll see a video of him on his bed watching the pay-per-view.
Is he rooting for Dad or John Cena?
Let's go, Cena. Fight Owen. Fight. Fight Dad. Fight. Or maybe Fight Dad. Fight. There you go.
Yeah, Fight Dad. Fight. You should get him a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Get him in an angle. He wasn't... Owen Steen is actually 1-0 in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's undefeated, just like his old man.
That's right. Undefeated in PWG, Owen has pinned Excalibur, so there you go. that being said, I think this can be a hell of a match, though. Like, I think they're going to tear the roof off this place.
On a card with two chamber matches and that main event for the title, Owens and Cena could really steal the show, like you said.
And this is normally a dead crowd, so, you know, let's hope not.
Yeah,
because
seriously.
This is a match that the people watching at home will love, because I think they're going to go at it full bore. Kevin thrives in big matches. He always has. This is the biggest match, which he admitted on Jericho's podcast. The biggest match of his career. Duh.
Yeah, no crap.
And I think, you know, it'll be interesting. It'd be interesting to see. We haven't seen different things that Kevin does, like from his old ROH days. I wonder if he pulls out any of those goodies. I don't think he'll package pile drivers, Cena.
I'd love for him to tease it, though.
But if he could do, like, you know, the old one where he used to ram the guy into the pole, right in the nads.
Yeah.
I could see that. Maybe we'll see a little more of the Kevin Owens playbook. We'll see.
I dig it.
All right. And then we have, finally, Seth Rollins, our, you know, just chicken champion, taking on Dean Ambrose for the World Heavyweight title. I had said I had a plan for this match, so I am going to reveal my plan. I assume you're taking Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I'm. Let me know what this plan is, because you're going to have a hell of a lot of time here to convince me that Seth Rollins isn't going to retain the title here. You really think Ambrose is going to win?
I think Ambrose is going to win. Here's why. Because in 2 weeks, what do we have?
Money in the Bank?
Correct. I think Dean Ambrose is going to shock the world, win the world title, and 2 weeks from now, Seth Rollins will once again become Mr. Money in the Bank and chase after Dean Ambrose for the title.
You've got to be kidding me.
I honestly think that's what's going to happen.
That's your logic?
Yeah, and I think how it all fits together is Brock Lesnar's coming back as well. Brock wants to get his hands on Seth. Now he could, in theory, have a match with Seth that isn't for the title. And just kill him.
Yeah, but, I mean, it just seems so out of the blue with Dean Ambrose.
It does, but, I mean, you always have that card to play with Rollins holding the briefcase, and he can just take it back at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, why not do a test run with Dean Ambrose as a babyface champion for a couple months, see how that goes?
Maybe. I just the timing of it doesn't work for me. Like, I just feel like Seth Rollins, like, this is eventually going to lead to Rollins versus Lesnar. With Reigns getting in there as the main event of SummerSlam, which, by the way, we haven't even touched on yet. Roman Reigns isn't even on this friggin' card.
That's true.
How did that happen? The guy main events WrestleMania. He's supposed to be, you know, the big push of 2015, and he can't even get on this advertised 2 weeks in advance pay per view.
Maybe Dean is helped by Roman Reigns, and that's how he wins.
Oh, yeah, you would like that, wouldn't you? It would make your prediction right.
I'm just saying, it would make sense, and then you've got a program for Seth until Brock comes back, and then, who knows? And
that would be the biggest shock of the year. If Ambrose wins the title, it's definitely a holy-ass moment.
Yeah, and then what you could also do, you have your whole SummerSlam thing. You've got Ambrose, in theory, facing somebody, whether it be Lesnar or somebody else. But what if Roman Reigns turned heel at SummerSlam and helped Seth Rollins get the title?
Maybe. One pay-per-view at a time, please. You're getting me all...
No, but this is why I'm saying it. If I didn't have all these things ahead, like behind it, I wouldn't think Dean is winning.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of fun to be had with this if Dean wins, and then you give the briefcase to Seth, and you're building up Seth's resume. There's only one guy who's ever won Money in the Bank 2 years in a row. Everyone knows who it is. WWE doesn't want everyone to know who it is. That's another reason for Seth Rollins to win Money in the Bank again this year.
They just want to rewrite the history books?
They want to erase someone from them.
Well,
and that's been said widely. Like, if Roman Reigns had of all worked out like how they wanted, the talk was Roman Reigns was going to beat CM Punk's streak for the longest title reign in modern history.
Oh, really?
The plan.
Thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah. So, well, we didn't get that done, but we can get this done. And it fits in line with Seth's character. He's always that little conniving chicken. Again, he'll have that thing. Kind of a lot like Edge. You know, Edge won it a couple times and was able to get the title that way. I just think if Money in the Bank wasn't 2 weeks away, I wouldn't be as confident that Dean Ambrose has a chance to win this match. But because it is, and because Seth won it last year, because let's put it this way. If I'm wrong, who wins Money in the Bank?
Ambrose.
You'd think Ambrose, but then you're just flip-flopping it. The only other one I can come up with is Roman Reigns, and if that happens, oh boy, people will love that.
Reigns, maybe not. Maybe a long shot, maybe Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but he's, if we're right about this, he's going to be the Intercontinental Champion.
If you're right about it.
Well, didn't you pick Bray too?
I picked Ziggler.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Anyway, the point is, I think there's not really a clear-cut Money in the Bank winner other than Roman Reigns.
And yeah, it's pretty open this year.
And if it's Roman Reigns, everyone will hate it. So this is a way everyone will hate it, but hate it like they're supposed to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
If Seth wins again and gets helped by the Authority and all of that. And down the line, I still say there's a ton of money in turning Roman Reigns heel.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to the Sam Roberts podcast. That podcast where he came on there and just basically acted like a entitled brat. I mean, that was a heel promo. The best promo I've ever heard from Roman Reigns on the Sam Roberts show.
Which makes you wonder why they didn't start rolling with that right away, especially when his heel heat with the fans is at its highest. It's kind of died down in recent weeks.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of played in the background to Dean Ambrose, right?
Yeah.
And that I also find interesting. That's why I say, I smell a rat. I think Roman Reigns is laying the groundwork to turn on Dean Ambrose. And what better way to do it than cost him the world title?
That would be something else. But this Roman Reigns heel turn will happen. It just depends if it's going to be this week. Coming up at Money in the Bank, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, we all know how my predictions usually go. So if this is right, will be the first time I've got some WWE booking down solid. So don't quote me on this. The only thing I'm ever right about is Kevin Owens. Because Kevin Owens never loses.
Ever.
We hope that's still true after this Sunday. If not,
hopefully, yeah.
I have a feeling a lot of people on the internet will not be happy with the WWE.
Well, we know two who wouldn't be happy right here.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, like, we're not alone in this.
I'm just saying, James.
I'm saying the Owens Nation is strong in the internet wrestling community. They're big fans.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to sell those t-shirts that are not on sale till June 24th, I suggest that John Cena take the dive.
Just lay down for Owens.
Well, you know what the biggest thing probably that has helped Kevin Owens?
What?
Is his fans. Because there were rumors that he, right when his shirt came out, literally almost beat John Cena in merch.
Yeah.
Which, there's only one other person we've heard that coming close to. And oh, by the way, sorry to tell you folks, it wasn't Daniel Bryan. It was CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was doing those big numbers, Vince McMahon will overlook his weight. He will overlook the fact he has a beard. He will overlook the fact that he has a French accent. He will overlook the fact that he has a tattoo that says live and evil. He will overlook it all if he's making that kind of money.
Yeah, the merchandise numbers right there. Vince McMahon swoons over stuff like that. So we're all a part of this Kevin Owens experience. Keep buying his merch. And then if that's the case, he'll kick John Cena's rear at Elimination Chamber. Wow, I just turned into a fan there.
There you go.
I became impartial, James.
There you go. And as Vince McMahon says, it's all about the money.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
That was unnecessary. Anyway, that's it for us. We are done. We will be back next week. Walter, same normal time and place, or do you have other engagements that you need to address next Friday?
My schedule switches around from time to time, but as of right now, it will be same moon time, same moon channel.
Alrighty. And if not, send your complaints to @WaldersSports, or you can reach us @Condo on the Moon and say hello and let us know what you think of the Swiss Millennial, of me, of my ever love for the Young Bucks, Kevin Steen and Adam Cole. If you don't like that, let me know, and I'll tell you you're wrong. All of this. Anyway, we're out of here. We're done. Program is finished. Thanks for joining us. We hope you sincerely enjoyed our rambling about wrestling for about 90 minutes or so. So with that, enjoy Elimination Chamber. I can actually say there's actually a chance you might. And that's rare with the WWE. So let's hope.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better. More questions.
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye.